They come through you, but not for you. I would add, and you can't motivate them to do anything. They will do it when they are ready. And when they are ready, and when you are ready, then the teachers will start showing up everywhere. So this is motivation. You get a hold of an idea, and you take this idea to its logical conclusion, and you don't let anything get in your way. The problem with motivation is that it's me that's doing this, that I am the one who creates this, I'm the one who does the work, and I get the rewards for it, and so on. It's a very ego-centered kind of an idea. Inspiration is the exact opposite of motivation. Inspiration is an idea gets a hold of you, and it takes you where you were intended to go with it when you signed up for it, when you were in spirit, before you created yourself into a particle and into the physical form that you are. It's an idea that is infinite, a concept that's difficult for us who live in bodies and believe that we are our bodies and our minds. Infinity is one that just doesn't work. In a body that begins and ends, it's hard to explain something that never begins and never ends. In a body that believes that I am what I do, it's impossible for it to get the idea that you don't have to do anything in order to be, that you don't have to create, that it's okay to just allow yourself to be. I think of an example I saw in the New York Times not too long ago. A man I admired immensely, he died just recently, his name's Arthur Miller. And great playwright, one of the great playwrights in American history. Most of you probably read Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman's great adventures, and The Crucible, and so many other great, great plays that he's written. And he was being interviewed at the age of 88 by the New York Times. 88. And they asked him the question, are you working on another play? And his answer defines inspiration better than anything I could ever give you in a definition here. He said, I don't know, but I probably am. I thought that was so profound. Are you working on another play? I don't know, but I probably am. And I thought, if you were to ask me the question, are you working on another book? I don't know. But I probably am. Because when an idea gets a hold of me, and I surrender to it, and I allow it to take me where I sense it was destined to take me and where I was destined to go with it, and I surrender to that, and I get my ego out of it completely, then I find that's when the miracles take place. That's when the profound teachings show up. That's when the synchronicities that just are so inexplicable to our minds begin to surface. That's when everything just seems to coalesce and gel and be in harmony. It's almost when you have a sense that you're in a collaboration now with fate, and you're just in a state of pure allowing. You're just allowing it to come to you. And you get to this. Some people, like in athletics, for example, and sometimes in writing, sometimes in composing, sometimes in teaching, sometimes even with in lovemaking, sometimes with your friends or with your children or whatever, you get into what some people have called a zone. And in this zone, everything just seems to flow. Everything just seems to work absolutely perfectly. I've had this happen to me endless numbers of times on a tennis court, where everything I do just seems to just work so beautifully. And I go to swing at the ball and just stays at the top of the net and just sort of stays there. And then it's almost like it's got eyeballs. Looks over at the other side, looks back over at this side. Then it just decides to go back over to the other side and drop down, and it's your point. And you just go, wow. And then you hit another shot and you know that it's going out. And all of a sudden at that moment, a typhoon comes along. And whoosh, and blows it back, and it lands right on the line and twists and turns exactly away from your opponent. And you say, wow, I'm in a zone. I'm in a zone, and it's so powerful. It's so wonderful. Interesting thing about the zone is that there are times when you're playing a tennis match and your opponent is in the zone. any of you who've played anything competitively ever in your life have had this experience. So when you're in a tennis match or when you're in a game and your opponent is in a zone, this is the time for you to stay in spirit and say, wow, isn't it great? He's in the zone. He can't miss. The next ball he hits is going to go over the net, and it's going to dribble over, and it's going to look back, and it's going to dribble on my side, and I'm not going to get it. The wind's going to blow his ball back in. And instead of saying, which is what almost everyone does, why is this happening to me, where you get out of harmony with spirit? Why is this? This is terrible. Look at this lucky guy. How can this happen to me? This isn't right. Instead, you just get yourself immersed in the joy and the excitement of knowing that you're participating in a zone spirit experience. It's happening here. It's happening right now. And I am going to enjoy every moment of it. Instead of being so focused on, I've got to win the match and I've got it within it and this isn't working for me. And you know what happens? When you start enjoying the zone of another person, you become in spirit. You become godlike. It's like a joy in the accomplishments and the experience and the good fortune of others, even if it's at your own expense. Even if it's at your own expense, you begin to have this sort of wonderful awareness. So inspiration is that time when you are allowing an idea to take you where you were destined to go. And Arthur Miller explained it as well as anyone. You get your self, your ego, out of the picture. Here's a little observation from a biography of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It seems a would-be composer came to Mozart asking his advice. He wanted to know, how do I write symphonies? Mozart replied, well, you're young yet. I think you should begin by composing minuets. The young man was greatly annoyed and he exclaimed, but you were writing symphonies when you were 9 years old. How can you tell me to write minuets? Yes, Mozart replied, but I never ask anyone how to do it. And then he goes on, his biographer says, the most agonizing thing about this little Mozart story is that Mozart was not speaking from inflation, but from simple and truthful modesty. The reason Mozart didn't have to ask anyone how to write symphonies is that symphonies presented themselves to him, invented, enlarged, produced all at once in what he described as lively dreams. Dreams that were so forceful that Mozart had to stop what he was otherwise doing, maybe sleeping, and write out what he heard, almost as if something beyond Mozart's consciousness desired these symphonies to be written. That's inspiration. And you don't have to be a Mozart to live an inspired life, because your desire to do anything, if it matches up with God consciousness, if it's in harmony with your source, with spirit, your desire is enough to have that materialize as long as you offer up to that desire a matching vibration to it, which is, it's happening, it's on its way. I'm listening, I'm willing, I'm going to follow what it is that I'm being directed to do. I'm going to allow it to transform me. I'm not going to fight it any longer. And this is something that it's difficult to relate to until you've had that experience or until you're willing to allow yourself to have those kinds of experiences. And it might be that you're so busy doing what everybody else has programmed you to do, or you're so busy following the dictates and the rules that other people have imposed upon you or that you have bought into because of your belief in your separateness from God. And one of the most profound teachings from A Course in Miracles that I think that it offers is this teaching. A sense of separation from God is the only lack you really need correct. A sense of separation from your source, from where you came from, the idea that you're separate from Him, that's the only lack that you can have in your life and the only thing that you need to correct for yourself. I'm going to conclude this section with a wonderful story that was told to me by Swami Satchitananda, a great Swami, a man who lived in Yogaville down in Virginia, a divine master, beautiful, creative being, lived at Siddhi consciousness or God realization, great sense of humor, terrific, wonderful being.